for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, July the 8th, 2010. Jim Landry is the speaker of this service, teaching on church principles.
I'd like to thank all of you tonight, and can I say that sometimes it's good not to be prepared? In this short hour, I have a number of things to talk about. I guess if you're going to sum it up in a title, or because it's going to be totally topical, you might say God's elect. God's elect, they understand kingdom principles. Yes. They understand church principles. They understand apostolic authority. They understand how to submit to authority. They know their place. This week we heard a lot about ministry in the family. And I know the children were richly encouraged, because to hear it myself, it encouraged me to go back and want to spend more time with the grandchildren, with the nieces and the nephews, and with the congregation that I pastor. So tonight, God is going to gather these thoughts He's given me, and He's going to give us vision. He's going to give us guidance. He's going to give us direction. I'm certain there's something in here for everyone tonight. Very seldom have I encountered a experience with the Lord where the older people were left out. Very seldom have I encountered an experience with the Lord where the younger people were left out. Every one of us have been called to the war. We were all drafted, and we have a purpose, and that purpose is to fulfill the mandate, apostolic mandate of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to go out into the world and proclaim the good news. Jesus is good news. And I think it was in Luke 4:18 where He said that the Spirit of the Lord was upon Him, and He had came to set the captives free. I want to take us for a moment into an Old Testament prophetic book of Jeremiah and just share with you, because our hearts and our passion ought to be for what's taking place today around the world, outside and inside of the churches. But I must warn you, don't get bitter, get better. God gives us discernment if we choose to judge, and particularly when it's unrighteous judgment, we become critical. And our discernment is of no effect, of none effect. I think that you will live a much more productive Christian life. Tonight is Christian principle night. If you do all that is necessary according to the Scriptures to shield yourselves from judgments and from entering into gossip and entering into businesses that don't concern you. Well, I ought to have a lot of experience since I've pastored for a long time and have held many offices. And I am confident that if it had not been, and I pray that I continue to be, the faithfulness to submit to my elders, Pastor Glenn Miller, Pastor Harlan Dean, Pastor Norman Parrish, Pastor Dario Parrish, and to submit myself unto the other elders, that I would have not arrived at this point. And even at this point, if God want to make a plumb fool out of me, I'm a fool for Christ. For God I live, for God I die. Yes. So I don't determine the places of my mission. All I am is a soldier. That's God's business. In the book of Jeremiah, the 22nd chapter, And I'm going to read in verse 3. The Word of God says, "Thus said the Lord," Jeremiah 22, verse 3, "Execute ye judgment and righteousness, and deliver the spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor, and do no wrong. Do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, nor widow. Neither shield innocent blood in this place. For if you do this thing, indeed, then shall enter in by the gates of this house kings, sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, he and his servants and his people." Well, I just bless God, for God has raised up a kingdom of disciples that understand the kingdom. How many of you know that many churches today don't understand deliverance and have left this aspect out of the ministry? And we have a responsibility to pray for them. Because one day I was one of them. Can anybody else say that? So we got to get out the critical spirits, trying to run on a man's business. Because God says, "I'm not going to give you a ministry of your own unless you're faithful in another man." And faith in another man is when you're under authority, and children, just like you know in school, when the teacher says something, you don't say, "But." And just like we teach you as mom and daddy and pastor not to talk ballot back to the teacher, in real submission, you elders lose your opinion. I remember about 25 years ago, I heard a tape from Marilyn Hickory about the spirit of variance, because I wanted to know what variance was. I probably hadn't heard another tape from her in the last 15 years, but I remember that in my youthful years. And she said, it's like having a church meeting, and we spend all of an hour voting on the meal for next Saturday's convention. It's going to be chicken and broccoli. And after one whole hour of talking about the meal, when it's almost over, Mr. and Mrs. John Doe, our brother and sister John Doe, stand up and say, right around the benediction time, "Won't we have beef? I know where to get it on sale." Contrary. We're not going to be able to see the vision that Jeremiah had from God to deliver the spoil out of the hand of the enemy if we're saluting and exalting the enemy. We're going to have to come under God's alignment and trust that He can do exceedingly above all that we can think or ask. We got to believe that by faith and mixed with the word faith, like Israel didn't do. We're going to have to mix faith with the word so we can believe that God is able to do more and better than what we think. It's not about this. It's about Him. God is raising up disciples that are going to preach the kingdom. Jesus preached the kingdom. Why are you preaching anything else? So we pray that throughout this land and throughout the world, other churches will come into the knowledge. And I mean that sincerely in my heart, because I'm seeing it happen. I can tell you case after case, because over the years, the ministry began to expand, not with any provocation on my part. I didn't do anything to make anything happen. Just woke up one day and realized we had more than 10, then 20, and then more in churches, and other churches had apostles. They had churches in Africa, churches in the Caribbean, and they said, "You pastor." I say, "Brother Glenn, pastor." "Brother Norman, pastor." "You the man." Well, some people want to be the man. Some people want to promote a man. That's not your business. That's God's business. Now, I'm coming from many years of experience, many years of submitting to authority, and a man who is an authority that is submitted to authority. The Bible says in verse 5, "But if you will not hear these words, I swear by myself, said the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation." Well, unfortunately, in houses, in the church houses in many places in America, and I'm going to believe God for this to change, because I think it's going to be a wake-up time here in another year or so. Too much happening right now. People want to crowd. They're going to have to come crowd for more than noni juice and bowel cleansers. You know? "Brother, God bless you. Good to meet you. What kind of water are you drinking? Do you have bowel cleanser?" They're going to have to come out of there sooner or later. We're going to have to greet our brothers with a little bit more than a bowel cleanser, you know. But unfortunately, in many ministries around the land, there's no room for deliverance. And I believe as a result of that, many, unfortunately, can be visited by a curse because they are disobedient to delivering the spoil out of the hand of the oppressor. Each of you have been called to be overcomers. Yeah. Overcomers know who their enemy is. Yeah. Because Jesus overcame him for you. So that you, through him, can live a life of victory. Are you an overcomer?
Yeah.
Are you overcome? You're a believer, you're an overcomer. And we're going to help you get where you need to be in order to grow into that maturity and where God wants you to be on the battlefield, and you'll know your position. Not everybody drives the tank, but everybody's got a part and everybody's got a place. Now I got about 46 minutes left. Revelation, the second chapter, verse 2. The Word of God says, "He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Come on, overcomers. Verse 11. "He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for eternal life. That we'll stand before God, and I pray. I don't take nothing for granted. Don't take me for granted. You need to read it yourself. Prayerfully, we'll stand before him that day and he'll say, "Thou good and faithful servant."
Yes.
I can assure you, when you arrive, if you open your mouth and you start talking, you missed. There's a scripture saying he's going to give them people an opportunity to say, "Well, Lord, Lord, didn't I do great mighty works in thy name? Didn't I cast out devils?" And that's a warning, particularly to these charismatic folk like us. So we get a big head sometimes and we can cast out a devil. But I've seen two-year-old babies say, "Come on!" And mothers get thrown against the wall, vomiting all over the place. So that doesn't impress me. I'm impressed when I see people get delivered.
Amen.
Live a holy life.
Yeah.
Holiness is the way.
Yeah.
Lord told me to tell you to do this thing, brother. Give me a bottle of water. Robert? Yeah, you got to go get me a bottle of water. Verse 17, "He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." Overcomers. The overcomers get the revelation word from God. Why? Because they're on their face before God. They appear before God. They seek God. They love God. And don't tell me God don't talk to our children, because he do. That is clearly evident by the witness of the baptisms and the salvations and their kind gentleness, their patience with us, their long-sufferance, their temperance, their goodness that has been clearly evident this entire week in our children. They have been a great example to the kingdom of God at Lake Hamilton and to the world.
Yes,
Revelation, the third chapter, verse 21 says, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne." Now, it does say in and not on. So we need to know our place. We want to be like Jesus. All right? But Jesus is our great high priest. He is Lord of lords. He is God Almighty.
Yes.
We need to make our lives transparent so we can be like Jesus.
Yes.
I found as I live a transparent life, he shows me in the mirror the things in my life that are not so transparent. And he loves me. And because I love him, many times he protects me and shields me. So he gives me an opportunity to recover myself through repentance. Those who are walking in rebellion, they stumble on their own feet and expose themselves before all men that all men may see. Repent. Walk a life of repentance. We must repent. We can't tell our children to watch out for the Snickerbars, TV show, Barney, TV games, video games, and we doing whatever we big enough and bad enough to do. We have a responsibility too, to lead by an example. And all rebellion stinks of the sulfur of hell. All rebellion to authority. It undermines the whole apostolic principle of church life as ordained by our great high priest, Lord Jesus Christ. Before each of us can truly understand God's elect position, and Jesus' message of the kingdom, you need to know about apostolic authority. You need to know about and continue to learn about the power of delegated authority. It is God who delegates authority. It is no business of ours.
That's right.
Unless we are the delegated authority, and God commissions us to delegate authority within that area of authority that we have. We are called, each of us, the young people and the older people, we are called to obey those that have ruled over us and pray for them. Both apostolic authorities and secular authorities. To speak against the president in office is heresy. It is ultimate rebellion. To speak against our apostolic leadership is heresy. It is rebellion. Now, after they're gone, you got an opinion about it, not in office, it's okay. There's a little bit you can shady say about what happened in 2007 when such and such was in office. I'm trying to give you a gray line here. But you redlining and you mainlining straight to hell when you talk about God's offices and authority today. And I'm not going to try to butter it down by telling you what I feel and what I vote and all that, because it don't matter. You need to understand what I'm telling you right now. And you need to go search the scriptures and see if the things I tell you be true. But many believers prefer to speak against them. Some think that they are being helpful, but they are meddling in things that doesn't concern them. But the attitude of real leadership, and we have some real leaders here tonight. We have some real potential leaders here tonight in these youth. Is gracefulness when we come under attack. It's gracefulness. Moses, according to God's word, was considered to be the meekest man. What was Moses' strength? God! Moses had a burning bush experience. Moses knew how to handle strength under control. Let's look at some examples of that. In Numbers, the 12th chapter, Numbers, the 12th chapter, verse 1, we want to look at just for a moment here, Moses' brother and his sister coming to him, a little challenged by Moses' recent marriage with the Ethiopian woman. It reads as follows in verse 1, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. As a sibling in the house of my father, God has not commanded me not to be able to speak to my brothers and sisters or my mothers and fathers concerning family business and family matters, to question them, or are you sure this, what God has given you a wife, or, you know, I don't know if this is going to work out for you. You just, you know, your wife just died last year, and, you know, that's not an issue. God does not condemn this for siblings and for family to communicate on such matters. So what happened? Well, we read in verse 2. And they said, though, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses, and he had not spoken also by us, and the Lord heard it. He didn't come in. The Lord didn't show up until after. They start saying, God talking to us the same way. And God going to let them know. No, I'm not. Moses was the man that God had chose to oversee the work. Pastor Glenn Miller is the man God has chose to oversee this work.
Yes.
You'll be a fake Jake, untwisted pancake if you think you are going to be a Joshua and replace the man of God with an attitude as, I'm next. In fact, don't even come to me with that. I'll fire you on the spot. That's a bit of humor, of course. Amen. If it didn't even come out of me and I don't catch it, you tell me. Because we don't know sometimes what's buried down there in our hearts. Now, the man Moses was very meek. Woo! Strength under control. Strength under control. All this mess coming there, and you're just looking at him saying, yeah, I heard what you said. Thank you. Above all the men which were upon the face of the earth, and that is the care of leadership when confronted with attacks like that, graciousness. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they all three came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of a cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron, called Miriam, didn't call the Ethiopian woman, didn't call Moses half, called him. And he said, hear now my words. I wouldn't want to be in that position. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall be whole. Wherefore, then, were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? How can we miss this principle? How has the church got in such mess in the last days of Diablos, the accuser of the brethren, has infiltrated many in the ranks of the believers, and they have become terrorists in the spirit, assassinators of those that bear the witness of the truth. Now, there's a manipulative type of assassination. The kind where we brush next to you, get you to agree with me. She needs to go, don't she? All I need is just one person in the Holy Ghost to agree with me. Then we got two. And whenever I smell poison in one place, I already know the scripture principle that ain't nothing going to be established without the witness of two. So there's got two people that believe that. Okay, they got to have that bing bong or ping pong attitude for it to manifest. Oh boy. Let me give you another example. I think we know the story here, because if I took you to the entire teaching, then you'll know we hear very little about Miriam after that. And of course, she was a praise dancer for Jesus. She took care of song hymns, sung the Israeli songs to her brother, raised up in the house of Pharaoh, mama there, sister there. So when Moses got called, she wanted to step out there and say, the man of God. And that was okay. Yeah. To that day. Because God said, I speak to him. He the man of God. Not you. And not Aaron. Well, let's look at another example of strength under control by Moses. He seemed like he's under attack. At least they was going directly to him. They weren't going sidetracking to his neighbors. We call that back doctrine. No, backbiting doctrine. So at least they was going to him. Numbers 13, you got a problem, you're supposed to go to the person and get that resolved.
That's exactly right.
But you, well, okay. Those are elementary scriptures. All the children know that. You got all with your brother, you go to your brother. We want to forgive, right? So they know that. Now, adult time. The same principle applies for us. Because God's going to let you see, because he's going to give you opportunity for your gift to be critical or your gift to be discerning. You have the choice how you want to use it. I remember a man came here, I think he was from Canada, about 12 years ago. And I had just got through ministry. And he said, come here, son. He said, you need to slow down. You're talking too fast. I can't hear everything you're saying. I said, thank you, sir. And I went back and I spent the next 3 or 4 months praying and rebuking and building my confidence up in the Lord, getting delivered from rejection. And I started taking time and started preparing my messages and delivering in such a way that I didn't feel nervous about him anymore. I didn't consider that more than an apostolic reproof from a man of God that was trying to help a man of God.
Come on.
Some of us will say, I got the Holy Ghost, I'm an evangelist. That's better question. You don't tell me what to do. Oh, Lord. No, these things are not being. We workers. We deliverance workers. No, God has already warned us. Many will say, I cast out devils in thy name. He's warning us. He already warned us. So in Numbers, the 13th chapter, verse 25, the Bible says, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. We know the story. Moses sent out the spies to go into the land of Canaan. And they saw the land, saw all of the resources of the land. However, when they came back, all but two had an evil report. And it was just so awesome this week with the children hearing about David and Goliath. And so they know the principle. Hello. We adults need to get the principle that they got it. They got it. They got it. They got it. We got to get the principle also. So what was good for them ought to be good for us. Because, believe it or not, if you hang in this thing long enough, many of them may, in fact, be your overseers or your pastors one day. Verse 32 says, and they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. I mean, soldiers. Boy. They saw the problem too big for God.
Yeah.
So they weren't. Boy, I tell you. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come out of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight, fearful. All of that God had promised them, that's the kind of report they're going to bring back. Well, we see how this interfered with God's plan for Israel in Numbers, the 14th chapter, as we continue on with their testimonies and how it affected the whole congregation. And it reads as follows, and all the congregation, after hearing this testimony, lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Boy, they had believed God. They was trusting God. God had given them a promise. But they had heard an evil report. Whose report are you going to believe? The children have got the message. They understand the message. It is God. It is Jesus. And they know they love by the Lord. They trust Him. We're going to have to trust Him like childlike faith too.
Yeah.
And all the children, but look how it affected them, of Israel. They murmured against Moses. They murmured against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore had the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And I have personally witnessed individuals who did not get their way when they wanted to seed into the church apostolic authority, into the administration of a local church, their methodologies, what they felt like they wanted to see accomplished, what their vision was, and what they interpreted the vision was, and yet they had no planting association with, wouldn't even drop a dime in the offering box. But they wanted to have it their way, and I've seen many of them return back to the world because they had control spirits. It disgusted and frustrated. We need to return back to Jesus.
Yeah.
Do our first works over. We need to humble ourselves. The Bible says, and they said one to another, let us make a captain.
Mm-hmm.
They want to appoint a new leader, people. Moses is the man. They want to appoint a new leader. They want to kick out Pastor Jim in Beaumont, Texas. They want to kick out Pastor Glenn in Lake Hamilton. Everybody want to kick the cat. Anger! Ding, 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 ding. Some of y'all know that sound, huh? Y'all hoping a whole bunch of coins to come down there, huh? Okay. But look at the attitude of leadership. Look at the attitude of the true leaders. The leaders that are here tonight from all over the country that understand this very important principle. Then Moses and Aaron, under all of this challenge, rebels, mutiny on the ship, replace our leaders. We're going to die. They're going to die. If you're so scared, why you want to promote somebody else? Why don't you just run? Moses had the plan. Moses had the word. Moses had God. Moses had the rod.
That's right.
And you're going to replace him. You know why? You got an Antichrist spirit. What was the position of Moses? Strength under control. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. So what is the position of leadership when under attack? Graciousness. Because we sincerely, truly want mercy on those individuals' behalf. Because some of them are just a couple of chapters away from being productive Christians for God. Who are we to know those that ain't going to make it? We're hoping everybody make it. So God has placed in us graciousness. We ought to be able to take more if you got more callings. You say you're a prophet, an apostle, an evangelist. You ought to be able to take more. You ought to be able to take more. These children take more than half a dozen of us combined. Can't take nothing. Oh, it's not over yet. No, it's not over quite yet. Number 16. We see another rebellion coming against authority. With Korah. Boy, he got all kind of people with him, all kind of big shot leaders. In other words, he got the neighborhood. He got the hood.
He got the brotherhood.
And the Bible says, now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Korat, the son of Levi, Nathan, Abram, and the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Pelet, sons of Reuben, they took some men. And the Bible says, and they rose up before Moses. Now, we wouldn't even think of nothing like that right now. Y'all, got anybody here want to rise up against Brother Glenn? I ain't going to stop you. He's a man of God. God's going to tell him what to do.
That's right.
And when I'm ministering at church, or my wife, or one of the other elders, they can come off the street. We got a church here today. I don't say nothing. I just look up behind their name and just like that. Whoever that authority is right there, that devil know if we don't want a car. That devil know if I'm the senior pastor, and that delegated authority is going to take care of that. They're going to take care of it in the right spirit and say, sir, we've already started service. We're so happy you came. Why don't you have a seat? That devil want me to do this. Want me to get up and break rank. Get out the way. You're the man. And now the devil's going to cut up in there. Cussing. This church ain't so and so. Knock over some chairs. Because it didn't seem you ain't got no art in here. You know, I ain't supposed to be up here if I don't think you know how to handle business. That's God's business. The devil recognized the family too. He knows the father, the mother, and the children. And if dad is in order, mom and children in order. Mom in order, dad and children in order. Children in order, dad and mom is in order. Why? Because all the family follow the order of God. And that's why the enemy can't have your children. And that's why you children are protected. Because you understand the love of the father and the mother. And you understand authority and submission. I wish I would have had your teachings when I was your age. I probably would not have been such a criminal. But God had mercy upon my soul. And he delivered me. And he still delivers me. The Bible says that in verse 2, and they rose up before Moses with a certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes. Woo! Woo! My boy, when they came in, I know they had that purple uniform on. It probably say, stamp me, pay me, praise me. 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown, people that had influence in the congregation, could have been a deacon board. And they're going to tell Pastor Land this week, Pastor Land, we want you to teach, let's see here, what we got here. Pastor Land, next week we don't want you to teach anything more about this. Lord, have mercy upon you. Because I was one of them. Spoke at the pastor's anniversaries. Paid tithes and offerings. Drove the church bus. Was on the deacon board. Lost. Didn't know I was lost until Jesus came in my heart. So these renowned individuals are showing up against Moses now. Picture this. And they gathered themselves together against Moses, against Aaron, and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy. We holy too, Moses. Moses never did anything to exalt himself or make himself be better than the rest of the people. Now, Brother Jim didn't have that problem. Moses didn't do that. Every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Thank you, Cora. Wherefore, then, lift up ye yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Cora came in with an accusation again.
Absolutely.
Diablos, he came in, the Antichrist spirit here, with an accusation against leadership. And when you're a person in authority, in ministry affairs, rest assured that sooner or later you will be attacked by this principality. They'll see you moving in the Lord. Great humility and signs and wonders following. And they'll tell you, you're taking too much on you. I'll work with you and help you out because I'm an evangelist.
Yeah.
But if you ask them to go unplug the commode, they'll tell you, that's not my calling. Okay. Well, what is the attitude when the leader is under attack by these religious critics who placed him in a position that he wasn't? And falsely accused Moses. The Bible says, and when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face.
Right.
When a leader is challenged or confronted, the proper attitude should always be graciousness, meekness, and humility.
Absolutely.
Why did Moses have this meekness? Moses, he understood it because he had took off his shoes. When God said, take off your shoes. Moses had a burning bush experience. And maybe some that are watching, and maybe even some that are here, who need to take off their shoes and have a road to Damascus experience. See, on the road to Damascus, Paul, he met authority. We need to know, as Christians, before we begin our walk, as potential and future leaders, if not, we have met authority. What about Joshua? I don't have but a few extra minutes. In Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, let's talk about this man, this mighty man of God that's going to bring Israel into the promised land just for a moment. And I know I'm being a little topical, not like Dr. Bijou with his eschatology. That man preached a powerful word. Thank God for the anointing. We need to see the position of this servant of God before he takes the position of authority over Israel. One thing I want to make very clear that is that Joshua, up until the time God tells Moses to delegate him as authority, was not being prepared by Moses or anyone to become Israel's next leader. That was God's business. There's nowhere in Scripture where you can confirm other than the fact that Joshua was a cupbearer, and can I just use the term, because I am one, a flunky for Jesus. I'm full, I'm a bearer. Hey, whatever you say, I'm ready. Go get the Amalekites. He didn't say, well, you think I can win? Go get them. Just whatever it takes. He was a man that liked to be in the presence of God. Moses would go in the tabernacle and leave. The presence of God was there. Joshua just stayed in the presence of God. Now, he could have been at the round table studying laws and stuff so he can put himself in position. You know, I'm going to run for office next. Some of us need to get back into the presence because now we're speaking things out of our mouth as poison. Not us. But there are many out there in the church that have not this understanding that without a proper understanding of submission, your commission will not come from Jesus. Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, verse 7, it says, and Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto thy fathers, unto their fathers, to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Verse 23. And then Moses gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge, and said, Be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto thee, I will be with thee. Chapter 34. Verse 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Just a few years ago, someone broke into Lake Avenue campgrounds off the streets. And Brother Glenn outran me, tackled the man, put him on the ground. Before we could have him apprehended, Brother Glenn had done it all. So I'm not willing to throw in the towel because he's going through a little battle. I have tummy ache before too, you know what I mean? He walked in on his own. He'll walk out of here tonight on his own. The Bible has promised 120 years. You want to think less? No, I don't want to say this. I'm going to leave that alone. Well, let me just put it like this. There's a law of reciprocation. Be careful what you say. But God may have intended for your life to be 109. You lost 29 because you want to see somebody else go. Shame on you. Excuse me. I want to say that in the right context. Because Jesus has delivered you from all your shame. So I want to make sure I say that in the right context. Don't deplete your mission because you want to see another mission diminished. That might be the only reason some people are here. So you can get that right because you got 40 years of ministry. You're going to lose 20. You get to my particular walk in the Lord, you don't care if you go tomorrow. That's not the issue. We just want to make sure you got the word. You got the word. I can go right now. A number of prophets of God have died preaching. I see the angels coming. What a way to go. I wouldn't want to go, and I'd be going up and I hear the ladder saying, You lost 29 years because you cursed Brother Landon about 10 years ago. You thought he was sick, he was going to die. My children and everybody trying to get me not to say, duh. So I'm learning how not to do that no more. So I apologize. I'm trying to help you. There it is. Now we can take you to 92 Psalms. We can show you 70. We can show you 80. And I've showed you 120. Now if you start saying a little something, you get a little squirmish and a little backbiting. You holler and the person 122 and now you're thinking that, well, okay, you've got a little leeway with God there, but you ain't got nothing under 120, but be quiet. Church principles tonight. Basic church principles. And the children of Israel wept for the Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. Moses had given Joshua a charge in the presence of the congregation. He didn't give the charge into certain individuals in clouded positions of authority, weeping it into their ears, you the man. You're going to be the next man. That's not the way he did it. He did it publicly. And so authorized by God himself. Joshua had a similar burning bush experience. It was in his uncompromised ability to submit. He understood submission. And not once did he ever tell Moses how to run his business. Not once. For he understood, Joshua understood how to be under authority. He understood accountability. He understood being under delegated authority. Joshua had no second masters. He had no second agendas, because many times when the Antichrist is trying to sow strife and division within the church, it's because they want to incorporate some of their vision. Okay, I think so far it's been okay, because I don't feel anything, but it's a personal assault. But you're responsible. If you tell me something, I want you to know, I will tell it. I've told people that years after years, don't tell me nothing that you don't want heard. Unless you are part of the leadership, part of the apostolic leadership, we have some things that we have to pray about, and they are sealed through eternity. But just walking to me, tell me something. Unless it's something to do with counseling or ministry, I'm going to tell it because I know the principle that if someone has poison, then somebody's touching the green with them. Because if you only got one kind of poison and you don't want it here, you ain't going to be able to do nothing with it. It's bound until you can loose it with two people. So that means they got two people in here saying the same thing. Not in here. That's an analogy. That's a hypothetical. Well, I'm trying to get you to see that you are the elect. And before we can walk as soldiers of God, as the elect of God, we need to understand spiritual authority. So in these final minutes, let me ask you something. You have spiritual authority, don't you? Do you have it everywhere? You have the spirit of authority everywhere? Okay. Let me ask you a question. My brother has children and a wife. And do I have authority to go to their home and tell them how to rear their children? Okay. Let's suppose that my brother and his wife are getting ready to go to Canada for a missionary mission. And they ask to say, Jim, Pastor Jim and Sister Alberta, would you mind taking care of, I like Jacob. Jacob's a sweet kid. Jacob and Mary, our children? I say, certainly. All right. Now, they're going to Canada. Do I have authority with their children now?
Yes.
So, authority is representative. All right. In other words, I only have authority where I have responsibility.
Right.
You don't have any responsibility? Keep it out of your mouth, out of your business. That's God's business, how He runs His program. So you only have authority when you have responsibility. I think I had my mom was going to be with the Lord here about 4 years ago, but I'll tell you what, she rained on my parade anytime I crossed the line. And my daddy was so straight. I mean, I never heard him speak loud like he talked like this. Jimmy. He called me the other day and said, I just want to thank you. I just love you and my brother. Y'all just serving God. Oh, thank you, thank you. I said, yeah, Dad, I've been praying for you. I can tell. But my mama, I mean, she talked loud. Come here. We're going to have a little talk. My point being is, I thank God that they didn't spare the rod because they didn't hate me. Because the scriptures don't say spare the rod, spoil the child. It says if you spare the rod, you hate the child. So whoopings are good. Oh, children, by the way, we adults get... We get spiritual whoopings too. We get reproved, corrected. I mean, let's face it. I mean, all conferences, such a diversification. The ministers are moving fast. Sometimes there's a lot of different teachings. And sometimes we blow it. You know, we say things. Sometimes we thought we had said it the right way. And we didn't say it the right way. I like what Richard said. I've come to grow and not judge and realize some people just are not where we are. And some people think everything is cursed. And some people know just a couple of things is cursed, et cetera, et cetera. All right, so we have to work with those things. And so it's us, the responsibility leader, to catch them on the side and say, hey, man, you know, you said that. Oh, I said that. So you can be free. You ain't got to judge. You don't have responsibility, and so you don't have authority. Now, where you got responsibility, you do have authority. Jesus chose the 12. Jesus chose the 70. Jesus chose the 500. They all had something in common. Jesus chose the faithful to walk with Him. That was the basis of their election. As I can get near to the completion of this message. And I've given you this scripture once this week in Psalms 101, verse 6, which I believe is the basis of the election of the 12. And the Word of God says, my eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. We are God's elect. We are those that God has chosen. This is the basis of our election. Faithfulness. You better be faithful. No excuse. No exception. You must be faithful. You don't have a choice in this thing. Well, the Lord called the 12 in Mark, the third chapter, and I am down to the last two chapters. I'm not going to keep you late tonight. I know many of you want to rest tonight and have some fellowship, but let me tell you this, that Jesus spent weeks, he spent months, and even years building a relationship with his disciples. He taught them a principle of relationship before ministry. You don't build a relationship going to other houses of prayer and telling them how to run their business unless they have given you permission to do so. You build relationship by learning how to love your brethren, how to cover their faults, how to bear one another's burdens, how to submit, and how to pray one for another. You build a relationship, and in that trust in that relationship, there is a commission there, and there is a responsibility, and there is a confirmation that you know that you're covered because you are under the shadow of the Almighty. And he said, I'm going to protect you. And I always want to be under his cover. And I like the analogy that I think one of the elders mentioned about the hen chicken and the wings and the rain. Well, God has wings for us too. And wings always speak of witness. And those wings speak of the Word and of the Spirit. And the Israelites messed up because they did not mix the Word with faith. So you're going to have to be faithful. You're going to have faith in God. These little children lifted my faith. I'm going to leave here with an increase. Not just because they nice looking children, nice attitude, was sweet and did all good things. No, I heard testimony. I heard word. I heard scriptures. I heard some things come out of them that hadn't come out of me. And I'm not exploiting. I'm not, what they call that? Inflating or flattery. Oh! So we want to finish up these scriptures here. We're approaching the hour. In Mark, the third chapter, verse 13, it says, and Jesus going up into a mountain, prayer time, and calling unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. Now, who did he call? The Bible says that he ordained 12 that they should be with him. He calls the faithful to be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. People, first, he called whom he wanted with him, and that was the disciples. After he had called the disciples, then Jesus ordained them. They are about to begin their public ministry. Jesus called them as disciples, and when he ordained them, they became apostles. Luke, the 9th chapter, verse 1, the Bible says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. We see a slightly change of the guard in the 10th chapter of Luke, because now the ministry begins to expand beyond the 12. Let me read verse 1 of the 10th chapter. It says, and these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and every place, whether he himself would come. Now, who are these 70? Well, more of the same. More of the same. Not just 12 apostles. We got 70 more. And what were their names? He just said other 70. Where are the faithful in the land today? With so much hype, so much celebrities in the ministry, TV, radio, nobody want to submit. Too many want to be in the limelight. These didn't even have a name. Jesus referred them to as other 70. Let me just talk a little bit about the other 70 because I'm almost finished. Now, he gave them a specific ministry. I'm almost finished, Trudy. Y'all have been very, very attentive here. The Bible says that in verse 9, he said, I want you to go out, I want you to heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto thee. The kingdom. The kingdom. The kingdom. Jesus preached the kingdom. The 12 preached the kingdom. Now the 70 is from the preached the kingdom. And I believe you can read where that was one individual who went out and cast out devils. And John forbade him because he followed not the disciples. And Jesus said, forbid him not. No man can do a miracle in my name and speak lightly of me. So the 12 preached the kingdom, the 70 preached the kingdom, and the 1 preached the kingdom. So you can't just say it stopped at the 12, or stopped at 82, or at the 500. Jesus had innumerable amount of disciples. You and I are the disciples. But there's something unique about this 70 that's a little different. God wanted to strengthen the ranks of the deliverance workers in the last days because some of our most challenged ministry when it deals with spiritual warfare is that I'm in the healing ministry. So Jesus sends out an abundant number of ministers to go out, more than the 12. He sends out 70 of them. And they go out and they start healing people, and boy, people get healed in the name of Jesus. But something happened. It says in verse 17, and the 70 returned, excited with joy, saying, Lord, you should underline this word, even. Even the demons are subject. They had a healing ministry. And so Jesus wanted us to know, for those who don't believe in expelling demons, that they are synonymous. With the exception of one scripture, you'll find when Jesus healed the sick, many demons left. When he cast out devils, many were healed. And if you look in Galatians, the first chapter, you'll find a word where they were a word called possessed. And I wish there was a better translation. That was the best translation they could do. But we have some Bibles, the New Jerusalem and others, that have better translation. And that word possessed really means demonized. Daimon ezomai, the noun in the passive. And it just means that a person can be demonized in some particular area in their body or their minds and love Jesus Christ. They just need to be delivered. That's all. But we want... Not us, but many in the church, because of the blemishes, and because they're not getting any miracles, because they're not seeing enough healing, instead of saying, in doubt, cast it out, challenging it as a demon, they just say, do this with it. God will heal you. Well, they had a healing ministry, and they found out that part of the package was they're supposed to be casting out devils. And what did the Lord say? And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Uh-oh. Then he said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. I believe, and there are a couple of interpretations, but I believe for tonight that the Lord is leading me to share with you, because I didn't have it until just now, because I was trying to figure out, I know what to say, but there's a couple of things there, that when they went out and it was having their crusades, and it was about the Father's business, healing the sick and casting out devils, that territorial spirits were being torn down. Now, just a few years ago, there was a big kapoof about territorial warfare. We're going to take the nation. They took it all right, didn't they? I'm going to leave that alone. We're going to take the world. What are they doing today? You hear very little about it. Today they want you to meet them at the special meeting at the Civic Center, pay $50 for a room. They want you to come sit around and hold hands like sitting around the Pentagon and send missiles from afar. Lord, help me. Forgive me. I don't have no reason to laugh at that. Forgive me. That's bad business. No, God has sent you and equipped you to go direct confrontation against that devil. Children, and you got power too to rebuke the devil. Now y'all know, if somebody tell you something here, right, y'all going to rebuke that in the name of Jesus, don't y'all? They know. Rebuke that devil. They know. Well, we don't know. We adults need to know what these young people know. And we can't just be sitting around our house trying to send missiles up to try to deliver our territories and our neighborhood. You need to go out there and do something. And if you do something, you're going to tear down the territorial spirits of that region. Do nothing, get nothing. Get something because you did something. I'm almost finished. And he said in verse 19, nothing shall hurt or harm you. Whom you going to believe? You going to believe what God's word says, or you going to believe what the devil says? I believe what God's word says. You say, well, there's been something that's been hurt. Well, there's some difference, some problems in their armor. They need to go back and check the armor of God and see what's not, the armor's not on properly. Repent. Get some prayer. Submit. Pastor, if you have to submit and get that issue dealt with. And but don't tell everybody, don't do deliverance because they're going to get you. No, the Lord has promised young people, when y'all rebuking and breaking curses around the house, rebuking spirits at school, he has promised you according to 10:19. It says, behold, I give unto you power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Jesus says, and nothing by any means shall hurt or harm you.
Right.
Period. Yes. Amen. All right, I'm going to finish in Acts, the very first chapter. Because somebody might be thinking I'm talking about the kingdom too much. He's saying too much about the kingdom. Too much about church principles. Trust me. I am trusting the Lord to shine a light upon my heart if I'm crossing the line on anything. Now, I mean what I say, and I mean it from my innermost being. But this is not a personal assault or attack on anyone. It's just something that needs to be shared. Because we need to leave out of this place tomorrow with an attitude that the Lord is with Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, and I'm going to stand in agreement with it. They got 30-some years of proven testimony. So why would I be one of the evil report spies? We covered your prayers. We need your prayers. We win together.
Amen.
We win with you. We're not against you. We for you. You got to walk out there, put your clothes on the bar at 10:30, 1 o'clock when you leave out here. Say, man, I can't wait till September or whenever I'm coming back. I'll be back in September, praise the Lord. Lord willing. And October. And whatever else. Acts, the very first chapter says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, lovers of God, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. 40 days. Watch this. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of his chosen, his elect, 40 days. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom. Jesus preached the kingdom. He preached to his ordained and his chosen. Now, no one else was there during this particular time. 40 days, he preached the kingdom. He preached the kingdom. He preached the kingdom. Why are you preaching anything else? Too many in the church are bored about the kingdom's message. That's all you want to talk about is healing the sick and casting out devils. And they'd be the first one to call you when they call to the ER. Jesus preached the kingdom. The elect preached the kingdom. You and I are the elect. We should do a study on the elect. You should know who you are and the position that God has given you in the kingdom of God. You have authority because Jesus has given you authority. And where you have responsibility, you have authority. You have power over all the powers of the world, all the demons. Yes, you do. But God has also aligned his church. He's gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Let them do their jobs. It is very challenging to each of us that are already in these offices, as it is. Because we're hearing from God, and if you think we don't get reproved by God, I beg to differ with you. God shows us our parades daily. It is very challenging. I want to see every one of you successful in the mission that God has given each of you. And I am confident if we will learn the simple principle of submission, Once again, in real authority, you lose your opinion. You lose your opinion. You obey. The greatest of all commands is that we obey. Tomorrow morning, we're going to be excited with our final message at 10 o'clock. God's going to meet us there. We're going to have a powerful meeting. I'm going to let you go early a little bit tonight so you can do your little packing and stuff so you can come by and take your pictures and see your friend. I love that part myself. But before I do that, I'm going to issue a charge to you. Those who would like to participate, I'm not going to see who don't because it's not that important to me. Because whoever God does this to, they do this. And whoever God says, don't do that because that's God's business, not my business. Those of you that are present, I would ask that you'll stand in Jesus' name. Let me speak to the congregation of the Lord God, our Most High, Lord Jesus Christ. Let me speak as Peter exhorted the elders to feed the flock of Christ. As we agree, I speak the blessings of God over your lives. I pray the elders which are among you, I exhort, whom am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, not for filth or lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. Yes, all of you be subject one to another. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon him, because he cared for you. Everybody know this one. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that these same afflictions are accompanied in the brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, strengthen you, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. May the church say amen.
Amen.
God bless you. See you in the morning. God bless you.
Amen.
6 a.m. prayer meeting. God bless you. I love y'all.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.